This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. And we're going to spend some time revisiting one of the greatest rivalries in the history of basketball, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. For more than a decade, they dominated the game, first in college and then in the NBA. It was the stoic versus the showman. For the Celtics, the big-nosed blonde whose intense personality matched his intense play as a forward.
With 3 seconds, Bird will try another jumper and hit it at the buzzer. Bird has 60 points.
And for the Lakers, the smooth point guard with the mile-wide smile who made even the most difficult moves look easy.
Campbell to Magic. Oh, gets away. What a pass. Hello. Count it.
Now, maybe Bird would have still soared without Magic pushing him, and maybe Magic would have still been magical without Larry Bird, but the NBA would not be where it is today without the rivalry that elevated the entire league. It's all detailed in their new book. It's called When the Game Was Ours, co-written with Jackie McMullen. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird both sat down with me recently, and from listening to them, it's clear they are now very good friends. But back in the day, that rivalry was real.
Well, we disliked each other. It didn't help that we played in an NCAA championship game, and now we got to see each other in the NBA, and one is for the Celtics, one for the Lakers, because once we entered into both of those teams, they hated each other, the organizations already. So even our teammates made sure that we hated each other. I mean, we're so competitive anyway that there was a dislike there. I even hated him more because I knew he could beat me.
You know, some people look at the two of you and the way that your relationship has evolved over the years, and there's still this question, how much of that rivalry came from the two of you? And the competition between the two of you, and how much of it was manufactured by the league?
Well, you got to go back in the 50s. We just rekindled the fire, but we did it in a way where we caught the imagination of everyone in America.
You know, I want to talk to you about a turning point in your relationship, and it seemed to be that that moment when the two of you got together for the taping of the Converse shoe commercial. And before we go on, I think it'd be interesting if we just took a listen.
I heard Converse made a pair of Bird shoes for last year's MVP.
Yep.
Well, they made a pair of Magic shoes for this year's MVP.
Okay, Magic, show me what you got.
The Bird shoe, the Magic shoe. Choose your weapon from Converse.
We just heard the audio, so you don't see the visual, but Magic, you're in the limousine, and you jump out, and you know, you got the two shoes, and eventually they change the wording of that choose your weapon. But for a time, that commercial was legendary. How much did they have to convince both of you to get together to go to Indiana to tape that commercial?
Well, for you know, it was
probably more
Indiana. I know. So it didn't take much convincing it was for you.
It was probably more for me than for Larry. You know, you got me going to his hometown, and Larry and I had never really sat down and had a conversation. So I'm nervous. You know, I'm nervous. It's like I'm going crazy. Like, what's going to happen? And we started shooting a commercial, and we really didn't say anything to each other. We were just, you know, doing our lines and everything. And the real moment, and I'm sure Larry would agree, was when we went up to the house for lunch. And his mom gave me the biggest hug and hello. And right then, she had me. And then Larry and I sat down for lunch. And I tell you, we figured out, you know, we're so much alike. We're from the Midwest. We grew up poor. Our families is everything to us. Basketball is everything to us. You know, those type of things. And so that changed my whole outlook on Larry Bird.
In the book, they describe this meeting between the two of you, and they say that when you left, that Larry Bird seemed like a real down-to-earth guy, and you thought to yourself, huh, we could end up being friends one day. But then you had to go back to your teammates who were like, you did what? You went to his house?
I know. Believe me, everybody was shocked, right?
Well, that's one of the things that I was always nervous about when I played in the NBA. I always thought you had to keep the edge. A lot of things you do, you don't want to get too close to a person because you will get a little soft. But once me and Magic left that commercial shoot that day in Indiana, and once we got with our teams, all that was forgotten until we retired.
There's a chapter in this book that's called November 7th, 1991.
Because of the HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers today.
The chapter begins with the words, "You've got to call Larry." And that's Magic Johnson asking his agent at the time to call Larry Bird. Magic, there was a short list of people who you said had to know before you went before the cameras to make that announcement. But among all of your basketball colleagues, why was it so important to make sure that Larry Bird was at the top of that list?
Well, you know, probably for all the reasons we've been talking, we've been connected to each other since college. I knew that he would want to know and also want to know from me, and I'm glad that I was able to talk to Larry and let him know that I'm going to be okay, and I knew he was going to be supporting me, and I'm just glad that I was able to reach out to him.
Larry Bird, you still remember that phone call?
Well, it's something that I'll never forget my whole life, but, you know, we had a game that night, and I had my routine where I'd come home from shoot around, have my lunch, then go take a nap, and right at, when I started to lay down there, the phone rang, and it was probably one of the worst feelings you ever could imagine. At that time, HIV was known to be a death sentence, but for some reason, when he told me he was going to be fine, I believed him, because everything he's ever said really come to be true. I feel a little bit better, but still, I was a gamer. I always liked to play in the games. I loved game day. I couldn't wait to get down to the gym. But when I got that call, that's the one time that I can honestly tell you that I didn't feel like playing.
What did this period do to your friendship? It sounds like it deepened your friendship. And I ask this question because I wonder within the pages of this book if there's a lesson about the power of friendship.
Well, I think that, you know, both Larry and I are very strong, strong-willed, strong-minded. Sometimes that armor is weakened, and as strong as I appeared to be, I still needed a friend to just say, hey, man, just do what you got to do to be here for a long time. And that's, I leaned on Larry Bird for that. We got a friendship. You don't have to talk every day, and we don't. And then when we do get together, when I see Larry and I get that pound and I get that hello, I'm good. You know, it takes me through my next year or two, you know, until I see him again.
Thanks to both of you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Larry Bird and Irvin Magic Johnson. They were talking to us about their careers and the new book, Larry Bird, Irvin Magic Johnson, When the Game Was Ours. The book was written by Jackie McMullen.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.